And our scripture reading this morning is 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. In case you pastors and pastors' wives and elders don't know where to find 1 Timothy in the Bible, you'll find that on page 992 of the Pew Bible. I've been thinking lately about the principle of carpe diem, or seize the day. You know, make the most of the opportunities that the unique opportunities that the Lord sends your way. Our church celebrated her centennial, her 100-year birthday a few weeks ago. That is truly a once-in-a-100-years opportunity, and we needed to seize that day, and we celebrated it. But there are other important milestones in ministry that you need to seize upon. Your first sermon in a congregation, or your last one, long-serving senior pastor's retirement after many years, or the official organization of a church plant into a self-governing church, or the merging of two congregations into one. These are all special occasions in ministry, and it's good for us to take advantage of them and to reflect on them in a special way. So, well, here we are at a meeting as a presbytery. And if you think about it, a presbytery meeting is actually a pretty unique occasion. It only occurs four times a year, not that often. And I thought about it as I was thinking about a message to prepare for the day, which is actually the first time I've ever preached for Palmetto Presbytery, actually. I thought, well, I don't know exactly how a presbytery sermon is different from a sermon in a congregation on the Lord's Day, but there ought to be something kind of different and kind of unique about it. And so I wanted to seize the day and to preach something specific for this moment, for this occasion. And I realize not everybody here is a member of presbytery or a representative of a church. Doesn't matter. You're still here at a worship service, at a presbytery meeting. And fact is, in our passage in 1 Timothy 4, Paul speaks about a presbytery. And so clearly, the Lord must think that everyone should know something about it, even if they aren't officially members of the presbytery. It's just one more aspect of church life that the Lord wants us to know something about and to understand. So let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. We'll begin reading in verse 11 through verse 16. Command and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things, devote yourself to them, so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing you will save both yourself and your hearers. Let's ask the Lord's blessing on the reading of his word. Let's pray. Father, we know that you have called us to yourself, and indeed we are saved, and yet, Lord, we continue to need your salvation. We would fall away if it were left to ourselves. We need your saving power to bring us all the way to the end. And so, Lord, may we indeed be saved today as we sit under your word and under the teaching. Lord, work in our lives individually and collectively. We pray that you would bring about a harvest for your kingdom, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Joke goes that a certain depressed man, whose life was in a shambles, he went to see a counselor for help, and they sit down together. Well, so you want to get your life back together, the counselor says. To start off with, it's important that you be able to answer the three great questions of life. First, who am I? Second, what do I do? And third, what do I want? And the man thinks for a few moments, well, who am I? I'm a loser. What do? I don't do anything. What do I want? I don't know. The counselor looks at him encouragingly. Well, two out of three ain't bad. Seriously, though, it actually is important to have answers to those three questions of life. Who am I? What do I do? What do I want? And using those questions, I want us to seize the day this morning and to think about those three questions specifically as we gather here as Palmetto Presbytery this morning. Let's start with that first question. Who are we? Well, we are a presbytery. Paul actually uses the word presbytery in verse 14 of our text. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy, when the council of elders, now the Greek word is presbytery, you can look it up, when they laid their hands on you. So the ESV translation, which I'm reading from, translates the word presbytery as council of elders, which I think is fine. That's a fine translation. But let's just notice that word there. It's not talking about a single congregation. It's talking about a collective, a council of elders. We are here today as a council of elders. So that's the answer to the question, who are we? We are a presbytery today. We are a council of elders. I hear a number of pastors say, and it may have been some of you guys, I honestly don't remember, but I hear pastors say often enough that the presbytery is their church. Yeah, I don't know, y'all. If presbytery is my church, why do I only go to it four times a year? I mean, if somebody only attended church four times a year, we'd have a problem with that, right? And we don't say this about ruling elders, do we? That, you know, we don't say presbytery is their church. I just don't think that's the most helpful way for us to think about it. I think the ESV translation gives us the right idea by translating it as a council of elders. Think about that. That's what we are. We are gathering as a council for giving and receiving wisdom, for deliberating, for making decisions in order to lead our churches, plural, not just making decisions that affect our own single church. Let me ask this awkward question. When you leave a meeting of presbytery, do you leave with the feeling that you're glad to get back to your home church? You clocked in, you put in your time, you did your service, and now you can be left alone for the next 3 months to focus on the real ministry to your own flock. Not gonna lie, I have often felt that way leaving presbytery meetings. I'm hoping, I'm guessing I'm not the only one who's ever felt that way. That is a selfish and a sinful mentality, though. It certainly is for me. It's wrong for us to feel that way. Fact is, if we only have skin in the game for ministry to our own congregations, then we have too narrow a focus for the kingdom of God. We're really just being self-centered. Our purpose for meeting here four whole times a year is to form a council of elders. Why? Because we need the encouragement of our brothers in other churches, and we need their wisdom. We need the gifts of others. We need the labors of others. We can't do it on our own. It's the Lord's gift to give us colleagues in ministry, to give us other elders, to form a council so that we don't have to attempt this all on our own. Do we appreciate that? I mean, you look around, do you view others that way? Like, these are the Lord's gifts to me. We need to view each other as special gifts from the Lord for ministry. So that's the first question, who are we? Answer, we are a presbytery. We are a council of elders, and I think it's important for us to know that. All right, second question, what do we do? As a presbytery, what do we do? What are we supposed to do as a council of elders? Paul singles out one crucial task of presbytery in this passage. The calling of a presbytery is to lay hands on men for the teaching ministry. Look at verse 14 again. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. That's talking about ordination or commissioning. What does a presbytery do? What's the calling? What's the mission of a presbytery? A major part of our mission as a council of elders is to lay hands on men and to ordain them to the ministry of the gospel. Now, I was foolish enough to agree to become, you all were foolish enough to appoint me to be the chairman of the Candidates and Credentials Committee. So I'm faced with this reality all the time. This is basically all that Candidates and Credentials Committee is about: bringing men under care as candidates, helping them along through the process of internship and licensure, with the ultimate goal, eventually, of ordination. My committee, you know, we walk with these men through the process up to the point where we hand them over to the Council of Elders to examine, approve them, and ultimately to lay hands on them. That's pretty much exclusively what my committee does. But really, this is what every committee in the presbytery ought to be about. What's the M&A committee for? Yeah, planting churches, sure, yeah. But more fundamentally, it's about identifying the right man with the right gifts for the right mission, the right work, and then laying hands on him, ordaining him to the ministry of planting a church or starting some ministry. What's the MTW committee for? It's for seeing men ordained to the work of missions. Campus Ministries Committee, similar answer. It's about laying hands on a man for ministry to our college campuses. All of our committees should be contributing something to this process of laying hands on a man, ordaining him to gospel ministry. And make no mistake, y'all, look at verse 14 again. When the council of elders, in the power of the Spirit, lays hands on a man, it does something. It somehow imparts a special gift of ministry to that man. You can't get away from that in verse 14. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy. When what? When did this happen? It was not given in the Candidates and Credentials Committee meeting where the poor guy got examined. It wasn't given when we as a presbytery voted to approve his exam as a whole. It wasn't given when he signed the ministerial role of presbytery. When was Timothy's gift given to him? Paul says it was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. That's when it happened. That's how it happened. That's how it still happens. It is such a tremendously significant thing when a council of elders lays their hands on a man and ordains him to ministry. This is why Paul's going to tell Timothy in the next chapter, chapter 5, verse 22, do not be hasty in the laying on of hands. Choose wisely. Don't choose poorly. I'm not trying to pump up my own committee's report later this morning. My point is this: every single committee needs to be pursuing this goal, because this is the mission of presbytery. This is what presbytery is called to do. Whatever committee you're on, whatever role you serve, how is that furthering the mission of the council of elders to ordain men to ministry, to lay hands on them? There are other things that a council of elders is tasked with. They have to render judgments on various things. They take up issues that are troubling their churches, like we see in Acts chapter 15. If we had time, we could talk about all that sort of stuff as well. But in 1 Timothy chapter 4 anyway, Paul is just focused on presbytery as a council of elders with a mission to ordain men to advance the kingdom of God. Who are we? We are a presbytery. What do? We lay hands on men who have been properly prepared for ministry. That's what we're supposed to do. We only meet four measly times a year. When we meet, let's make sure that we're keeping the main thing the main thing. Okay, now the third great question of life. What do we want? As a presbytery, what do we want? You know, in a way, this is the sort of question that needs to have a collaborative discussion. You know, people should be allowed to share their thoughts, interact with each other, talk it over, so that collectively we come to some understanding of what we want as a presbytery. But yeah, this is a sermon right now, so you've just got to listen to me talk. If you've been around the block in the PCA, you can kind of tell when a presbytery has got an idea, kind of a shared vision of what they want as a presbytery. There are the guardians of orthodoxy presbyteries out there. You know, it's their vision, as it were, to protect the PCA or Christendom at large from, I don't know, some inevitable slide into heresy, I guess. That's what they want. They want to be holding back the floodwaters of liberalism and whatnot. Or there are presbyteries with a very different vision for what they want. They want to help the PCA from being, you know, just a bunch of cranky, tightly wound traditionalists who can never change. And they're trying to help the rest of us loosen up and be more engaged with culture and stuff like that. That's what some presbyteries want. What do we want as the Palmetto Presbytery? Some of you know what it's like when you finish preaching a sermon, and after the service, somebody comes up to you and says, "Wow, that was so helpful what you said when you said this, fill in the blank." And they go on to tell you what they heard you say in that sermon, and in your head, you're thinking, "I'm pretty sure I didn't say that. I don't remember saying that. Did I say that? Let's go listen to the tape." Or maybe you're thinking, "Well, that was just a minor comment I threw in there, and that was not the main point of the sermon at all." I think you all know, you just smile and say, "Praise Jesus, I'm glad you were blessed by that." It's happened to me so many times, I cannot count them all. I've also done it to other people. It happened to me in my first presbytery. We were at some meeting, and a senior member of presbytery faithfully served kind of a rural congregation for many years. I could have sworn that he said, "You know, I really think of presbytery as a means of grace." And I went up to him afterwards, and I was like, "I was really struck by that when you said that, that presbytery was a means of grace. Could you explain that a little more?" And he looked at me like, "I didn't say that. I kind of like that idea, but I didn't say it." I don't know where the idea came from then. I guess it just came straight down from the Holy Spirit. But that is what I would want Palmetto Presbytery to be, a means of grace for those who attend and participate. Just for the record, I did not call it a sacrament, so don't pull out your pitchforks on me. I already got called a heretic by a senior member of this presbytery for holding to paedo communion, but I'm not making a new sacrament here, so nothing heretical going on. I think presbytery can be, should be, a non-sacramental means of grace. There, I've said it theologically correct. Wouldn't it be great if 4 times a year when we gathered together, we pastors who are members of presbytery and the ruling elders who are there representing the churches and really anybody who happens to be attending, wouldn't it be great if we all left feeling like, "Wow, I grew in the grace of Jesus Christ today. I grew in a way that I wouldn't have if I had sent in a request to be excused and had just sat at home reading my Bible by myself." Wouldn't it be great to come here and hear Jesus speaking to us in a way that we don't usually hear him speak? To hear him talking to a council of elders, not just a local congregation. Paul says in verse 14 that Timothy's gift was given by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on him. Okay, let's make all the necessary adjustments so that we're not looking for new prophetic revelation at a presbytery meeting. Well and good. But the word can still be preached prophetically with that prophetic power of the Holy Spirit that we long for and we don't hear nearly as often as we want. Fathers, brothers, friends, you know those sermons that have turned you inside out and upside down. Sermons that made you die with Christ and raised you up to sit at God's right hand. I have no doubt that as a presbytery, we can come up with 4 preachers, 4 times a year, who can bring it like that in the power of the Holy Spirit. That would be a means of grace for everybody who attended. And maybe especially for those teaching elders who work so hard every week teaching and preaching to others that we forget what it's like to sit under the word ourselves. and who forget what it's like to be captivated by a sermon and to be sitting on the edge of our seat during a sermon. Christ's sheep hear his voice. We are shepherds here, but we are also sheep, and we also need to hear his voice. So what do we want as a presbytery? I can't speak for you all, but at least for me, I would want presbytery to be a means of grace for all of us, to be the sort of thing that we look forward to coming to, for us even to be a little disappointed when it's over and we have to leave. Could a presbytery meeting be like that for us? Really? Yes, I think it can. I think it can, because there have been times in my life when it was exactly like that for me. In my first presbytery, up in the upper Midwest, I distinctly remember moments when I was so thankful for the brotherhood, the fellowship, the council of elders. Now, I have to tell you that my former presbytery, it consisted of the state of Minnesota and the state of South Dakota and the state of North Dakota. That's an enormous amount of real estate, with about 13 to 15 PCA churches sprinkled all over it. My church was in the southeastern corner of Minnesota, and I remember drives of 9 and 10 and 11 hours to the western and the northwestern parts of South Dakota. Our closest sister congregation was about an hour away, a solid hour away. And most were a lot farther away than that. We knew how alone we were. We knew how isolated we were. And so, at times, those opportunities for fellowship with colleagues in ministry was very, very precious. Now, here in the Bible Belt, the stronghold of the PCA, we don't have that kind of desperation. I can get in my car, and in 10, 15 minutes, I can be at a couple of different sister congregations. Don't feel so alone and isolated. Understand how incredibly misleading that is, though. You know, the 10 minutes it would take me to get from here to, say, Columbia Press downtown, or a little bit farther to Eau Claire. Just think about literally the thousands and thousands and thousands of lost, confused, non-Christians I have to pass by to get there. I've got to go past the University of South Carolina. I've got to go past the State House. I've got to go past all the banks and law firms and corporations of downtown. That is an enormous number of people between here and there, between this tiny little PCA outpost and another one downtown, or one in Forest Acres, or one in Northeast Columbia, or Lexington, or wherever. Brothers, I hope your churches are doing well and growing and all that. But it's a big, old, unbelieving world out there, and we are dwarfed by it. Keep that in mind when you come to a presbytery meeting. Fathers, brothers, friends, we need to seize these moments. There aren't many of them. Presbytery, it's just four meetings a year. Those are four opportunities for us to grow in the grace of Jesus Christ in a special way. Let's not let them pass us by. Would you please pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace. Thank you that you give us the word, that you give us the sacrament. We thank you that you give us the fellowship of the body of Christ to build us up. Lord, help us to treasure that, to appreciate it more and more, and may we give you the glory for being the one who provides all that we need. Lord, remind us how needy we are, and remind us of your great provision for us in every way. We give you thanks for what you've done. We give you thanks for your church. We give you thanks for this council of elders, and we pray that we might glorify you this day. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.